And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to We Think the Big Ten is Actually Proceeding Football Edition, Luke.
I was going to call it the Asterisk Edition, the Asterisk Season, potentially.
Well, yeah, that was going to be the podcast about a month ago.
Yeah.
And so everybody remembers about a month ago, early mid-August, whenever it was, Luke and I were going to record a podcasting that night. And then Big Ten rumors started to fly that the season was going to be canceled over the weekend. And I remember, Luke, you we were texting and talking more than people know. And you were telling me, we should call this the Asterisk Edition.
Yeah.
Well, if that was going to be the Asterisk Edition, this has to be the Double Asterisk Edition.
Yeah.
But here we are. I think it's actually going to happen this time.
Yeah, I think it's very possible. Games are going to start October 24th. There are going to be 9 games in 9 weeks. I think, Ryan, sources have told me that it's going to be 6 divisional games and 2 crossovers. And I do really like this new idea, which I hope actually catches on, basically what you would call the normal championship week. I really like this. Can you explain this to us a little bit?
Yeah, that's so the final week you'll have the Big Ten championship game per se, obviously, with number 1 in the East versus number 1 in the West. Well, what they're also going to do is number 2 in the East versus number 2 in the West, number 3 in the East, 3 in the West, and so on and so on. So for those of you who are already excited for the number 7, a.k.a. Rutgers taking on the number 7, who would you put 7 in the West right now?
I think, like, by default, you want to say Illinois, but I'm not sure they're as bad as they were a couple of years ago. I don't know.
I would say almost like Purdue or Northwestern.
I think
Illinois and Nebraska are going to be like 4-5s.
Yeah.
Kind of in that range.
And yeah.
You have the top 3, but.
And you got to remember that Illinois started to play pretty well towards the end of the season and actually had a chance to make a bowl game if memory serves correct.
Trust me, I know our Illinois side and Jeremy Warner of the Illini Inquirer is higher than consensus. Again, you can say what you will, but Jeremy, I know him well. I mean, he's a pretty level-headed guy. I think his predictions for the last couple of seasons have been pretty spot on within a game or so. And he thinks this team can be a 500, if not better team. And if you're going to go 500, you're probably going to be in the middle of the pack. But I think the interesting part about it is, for those of you wondering, well, what are the 9 games in 9 weeks? Who's Minnesota playing and when? We have no idea as we record this on Wednesday night. I assume by the time you listen to this, Minnesota may know their opponents and the order they're going to be played in. And luckily for you, we're going to come back next week and kind of break down what's going on in that schedule. But I'm very intrigued to kind of see how it plays out, because are you going to front load the front part of the schedule with divisional games so you can get all those in? Because if you do have a COVID test positive and things start to spread, there is an incredibly high likelihood that your team is probably not going to be playing for at least a week.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in these COVID testing protocols that the Big Ten has put forward. But it's so weird to kind of be doing this in mid-September, talking about a season that we thought was going to happen. Well, as of right now, I mean, it should be the 3rd week of the season.
Right
now,
exactly.
4th week of the season. And here we are trying to gear up for late October, Luke.
This is what I find interesting. This is just me basically playing conspiracy theory here. Like, do you think that they canceled the Big Ten season at first because Barry Alvarez was upset at their schedule? Because I think that's a very realistic possibility. And now he has complained so much that he's going to get a new, more favorable schedule.
Well, I know I had people in my mentions saying, well, I wouldn't be surprised if Wisconsin gets all 8 games at home. That kind of poll, but that's where Barry's not going to be able to get away with that in 21. That's where I was kind of breaking down on Gopher Illustrated today. I was kind of giving my reasoning why I'm going to be higher on this team in 21 than I will be this fall.
Sure. And
we'll get into that maybe this episode, but not this one.
I was going to say, speaking of like Gopher Illustrated, how does a guy like you basically get people to join the site when, hey, by the way, you probably forgot football existed. Hey, we're back. And by the way, this is going to be really weird now.
It is going to be really weird. And that's where, maybe the tens of thousands of season ticket holders, well, you're not going to be able to go there. I would be very, very gobsmacked if there is going to be more than, I'm skeptical there's going to be fans at all. I'll state that right off the bat. At any home game at TCF Bank Stadium this fall, so you're going to be stuck at home watching it on your TV. You're going to be scrolling through Twitter, scrolling through social media, and you're probably going to be watching me live tweet the game from whatever press box I'm at. And that's where, especially since you're not going to be able to likely tailgate, you're likely not going to be able to see those people that you sit next to in the stands for each game and you get to talk about the game during it. That's where a place like Gopher Illustrated can really come in handy. And that's where, I mean, I've been blown away, frankly, by the support the site has gotten in the last few months, especially considering there was no football. And we didn't think there was going to be any football. Yet the page views year over year, we're doing better. We are as big as we've ever been subscription-wise. And the message board has been a really good place for Gopher fans to just talk about Gopher athletics with one another. And that's where it's nice, Luke, that we're actually running a special now. Now that there's actual Big Ten football in like 30-something days, if you want to join because you thought there's not going to be no football, I don't want to re-up, that's money each month. Well, it's $1 for 30 days. Or if you want to do the smart thing and do the long play, it's 60% off an annual subscription. That's a $75 savings over a year. It's like $4 a month. You get to, hear me and have unlimited access to myself, unlimited access to Ryan James. I think Ryan and I are the two most foremost experts on Gopher football and Gopher basketball and their recruiting respectively. You can ask us a question at any time. I'm literally on the message board 18 hours a day answering questions. So if you have something that you want to be the insider to your friends or maybe to, for your better half, if you're like, well, we're kind of running out of things to stream. Well, luckily for you, okay. Luckily for you, CBS All Access is included in your GI subscription. It's $100 a year thing. It's free with a 24/7 subscription, AKA Gopher Illustrated. So then you can stream for free. And if Minnesota has some weird game on CBS, what was that CBS? Minnesota played on it last year against Fresno State.
Yeah, that's CBS Sports Network or whatever it's called. CBS
Sports Network. Yeah. So if, something happens like that again and Minnesota's on there, or if you just want to stream your favorite CBS shows, I think it'd be a great time to join. Again, there are thousands of you that are members on the site. You have unlimited access to me. You have unlimited access to Ryan James, and I think it would be a fantastic time to do it. So if you want to check out more, go to gopherillustrated.com. You'll see it on the front page. Click on the 60% off. You can read more about it and then sign up.
All right. So let's talk a little bit of COVID testing procedures. So the Big Ten basically laid down their proposed testing procedure. This supposedly, if you're trying to read into the smoke and mirrors that surrounded this whole kerfuffle, for lack of a better term, this was the procedure that they were working so diligently trying to iron out as they felt back in August, very early August, I think August 11th, that they didn't have a defined enough process. Let's be completely honest, the NCAA didn't exactly provide a lot of guidance here. That's my personal opinion. They could have provided a lot more guidance here.
The NCAA is a MF and joke is what they are.
It's kind of like the current federal government. I'm not trying to get political, but like the current federal government isn't giving a lot of guidance to the states, and therefore we have kind of a cluster that's happening now. But let's just talk about what the Big Ten did lay down in terms of testing. They're going to begin daily testing on September 30th, which to me is
by September 30th.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was on September 30th.
By September 30th.
Oh, I read. So
that's where you're like, I think some Big Ten teams, I think starting on Monday, which would be if my University of Minnesota education is correct and my Tartan High School education is correct, that's the 21st.
Yeah.
So by then, you have to begin daily testing. And obviously, that's going to be incredibly expensive. I think it's going to be millions of dollars.
And I saw.
Did you see the tweet today?
I saw somewhere that the Big Ten is going to fund it. Did you read that? I read that.
Okay.
That was a
tweet. I saw it was going to be between $700,000 and $1 million per team. I don't know if that was per month or for the season, but I believe it.
Yeah, I believe it.
I believe it.
Could you imagine though the value of that data, right? Like, just being able to like consistently test a group and kind of for the most part understand their contact tracing. That I think could be pretty valuable data in terms of any any COVID research as well. I'm not saying that the Gopher should try and sell their data, but you know, they're trying to make some money. It's a possibility they could sell that data.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's going to be a weird thing. It's going to be just, again, the daily testing was needed. That's some, one of the things that the Big Ten student athletes wanted when they kind of went on their, you know, demands portion of things. But I think the interesting thing to note here is, so with the daily testing, so any student athlete who tests positive for the coronavirus through the point of contact daily test. Okay. So if you test positive on that test, you then get a PCR test to confirm the result. Now, Luke, I think you may know more about the test than I do. So can you like put that in a layman's term?
So I'm not exactly sure what the point of contact test is and how that's conducted, but my understanding, the PCR test is the one that they stick up your nose, or they can do a throat swab, which is supposed to be more accurate, but you know, can vary depending on lab to lab that's actually processing the test. For instance, like my son had an ear infection. He's only 18 months, but protocol said because he had a temperature, he needed to get a test. He got a PCR test, which was the throat swab, and then he was able to, he came back negative, but you know, that takes longer depending on the queue that they have. But I do believe that it is more accurate. But again, this is all kind of, again, we're getting a lot of asterisks here, but that is dependent on the lab that they're using and the actual execution
of
that.
I think from what I've heard that, I mean, if you do test positive for the initial test, that point of contact test,
right?
Again, they're trying to rule out the false positives. And exactly. So that's why you're doing multiple tests. And I believe that PCR test is supposed to come back within 24, 48 hours, especially for what they're paying for it.
Yeah, right.
And so that's where, like, if you're doing daily testing, mm-hmm. and someone tests positive on Tuesday, okay, well, then we do the PCR test. We take those guys out of practice for until those other tests come back. And if they come back negative, great. If they come back positive, well, then it gets tricky, because if a positive test is confirmed, the earliest that student athlete can come back is 21 days.
So this is where I have questions. Okay. Yeah. So it was pretty clear that it said they can return within 21 days to game competition, but what kind of quarantine is required around that? I didn't really see anything in regards to that. So are they supposed to stay away from facilities, or are they supposed to stay away? You know, like,
I think they would be quarantined.
But is that, well, all,
is it in their dorm?
They're living with people, right? Like,
yeah. And that's where you're going to have to do contact tracing.
Right.
And I think the interesting thing to note here is if there is a positive twice, again, the POC and the PCR test, like even if you have a double negative. So what I'm trying to explain is, so in Major League Baseball, so if someone tests positive for COVID, they are continually tested every day until they test negative two straight days in a row. Okay. So say Tanner Morgan gets COVID, heaven forbid. And, you know, 11 days in, he tests negative on day 11 and day 12. Well, he can't return to play for another 10 days. So he can get back to practice, I believe, but they will not allow you to play another game until 21 days from your first positive diagnosis, or from your last positive diagnosis.
And I think this weighs in a couple different ways, right? So one, there's the myocondrius. I'm not actually sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but then there's also the intimidation factor. It's like, you know, if you get COVID, and we know that college students, because most of us were college students at one point, either knew or were the people that weren't making all the wisest decisions, right, in the world. I think this is two parts. It's one, they're worried about the myocondrias piece, but they're also completely trying to scare these student athletes into making better decisions, because you don't want to you don't want to miss one game, right? And if you're just doing something dumb, like, and you go to like a party and you get COVID, like, that's your own fault in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, and that's where the incentive is. The teams that have the best discipline and can just, I mean, again, it's not going to be great where you just go to practice, you go to the facility, you go to the game, then you go home. Like, we're going to find out which teams are out partying, which teams are out doing things they shouldn't be doing during this time, if they want to be able to play and potentially help their NFL draft stock, or potentially help themselves in the depth chart, or maybe most importantly to everybody, help their team.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're going to find out, Minnesota among them. I mean, I mean, COVID has gone through this team. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, say everybody on the team has had it.
Right.
But I bet you like 25% of the team at least has already had COVID at some point in the last 3-4 months here.
And when I'm trying to say, like, when they're trying to scare these student athletes or, you know, or using this as like a potential punishment with a 21-day thing, I'm not trying to say that all these student athletes are actually making bad decisions. What I'm trying to say is, like, there are some that are going to, and that's how they're going to get it. But in some situations, like, you can't avoid, you know, being in a collegiate environment and whatever. I mean, it's in some ways you just might not be able to avoid it. So I'm not trying to indict somebody as like, you get it, you made a bad decision. That's not what I'm saying, but that it wouldn't surprise me if some of them do make bad decisions.
Again, they're 18 to 22. Everybody listening right. to this has been or is 18 to 22. You think you're invincible. You think you can do anything. So again, maybe some guys have some lessons to learn, and we'll kind of see how that proceeds. But I think the other interesting part about it is back a month ago or 5 weeks, the big thing was myocarditis.
Myocarditis.
I had literally never heard of it.
Yeah.
I had to ask up my health buddies about it who are in med school. And so the interesting part about it is apparently now it's okay because, you know, some more data has come out, and we'll see how that plays out. But here's the thing. So all COVID-19 positive student athletes from now going forward will have to undergo comprehensive cardiac testing, including labs, biomarkers, ECGs, echocardiograms, and a cardiac MRI, a bunch of different evaluations, because they ultimately must receive clearance from a cardiologist designated by the university to clear these student athletes. So I think that's kind of an interesting twist to kind of combat some people's fears about the myocarditis.
Yeah. And the reason that they're fearful, right, is there was the guy that the Gophers played in basketball. I'm forgetting his last name, from Florida State. He actually passed away as a result of this. He was playing professionally overseas, and it was directly related to myocarditis, right? That is one instance. And then there was another athlete, I think of the Division II rank football, that died with complications related to myocarditis as well, too, right? If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong on that one, but I know for sure the guy from Florida State, that was part of why he passed away, which is horrible because he's like, what? I think sure. he's like around your age, Ryan. I think he's in his like mid or early 20s.
I'm flattered you think I'm in my mid or early 20s now. I just turned 28, me boy.
Oh, really? You're old.
Did I actually? Oh, I did. God, I'm old.
Man, you're old.
I can't
believe it.
God,
just wait until you.
Boy, this 30s. Is. I know.
My knee kind of hurts and all sorts of stuff.
It is really just hitting me at the same this time.
Yeah.
My God, I guess I'm in the peak. Isn't this like the peak athletic time of my life now? Is age 28 to 30?
I have the slightest idea. I was pretty. I really didn't get back into playing basketball until my early 30s. So.
Well, I know people are bummed, but you know this means with the season starting October 24th, I'm not going to get as much time in the tree stand as I was hoping to, even though the season starts this weekend. But
okay,
you know, I'm going to have to get it done before then. I'm digressing. All right, yeah. Let's stick on the whole COVID
thing. Okay, so let's talk about when they actually have to, because this is going to happen. We know it, right? Almost certainly they're going to yes. have to pause. Games are probably going to be missed. They're probably not even going to be rescheduled. But like, what's that look like? What's that process look like? What are these thresholds and the evaluations that they make those decisions by?
Yeah, and again, that was one of the big things, the Big Ten subcommittees. I say subcommittees plural because you know there was a subcommittee to a subcommittee to a subcommittee because everybody needed to have their voices heard. Everybody then needed to leak it to the media and so forth. But
everybody loves a hot mic.
Everybody does love God, how peak Nebraska is that for all of this? That Nebraska hot mics actually leak this. Like, you can't even make it up anymore, right?
I mean, he's the guy, like, that guy's probably the guy that is on like a teleconference and goes to the bathroom and then forgets to mute his mic. Like, he's one and the same, right? He just doesn't understand how technology works.
Yeah. You know how that goes with some of the boomers. Which,
okay.
Or so just even the zoomer. Anyways.
Let's just get to what happens when there's a pause, right?
All right. So the Big Ten is making each Big Ten institution have a chief infection officer. Now, I have no idea what the qualifications are. If I could be one, If it's the team doctor and athletic trainer, no idea what are the qualifications to be the chief infection officer, but they're the ones that make the decisions about the continuation of practice, competition. But the interesting thing is it's determined by the team positivity rate and the population positivity rate over a 7-day average.
And when they say population positivity rate, is that the entire university or is that the just the football team? Like staff and everything?
I think the team is just the players. The population is the support staff, the staff, and everybody.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the interesting part about it is, there are three colors, okay? Green, orange, and red.
Stoplight, basically.
Good. Yep, green means good. Orange means be careful. Red means we got a problem. So if the team positivity rate is between 0 and 2%, you're good. 2 to 5, you're going to have to proceed with caution here. And then red, over 5% of your team is testing positive for COVID. That means a 7-day halt. But I think the interesting thing about it is, like, what happens when it's going to happen? So think about the team. There's like 100, say it's 100 guys on the team. Say 5 test positive at a given time. Yeah, well, you're done for a
week.
You're
in the red, right.
And you get a 7-day. So if the team gets over that 5% positivity rate and the population positivity rate gets over 7.5%, the team must stop regular practice and competition for a minimum of 7 days, and they have to reassess things until things improve. Now, again, if you have a day where there's 6 positives, you're still okay because it's that rolling 7-day average. But if you're starting to get into that 4, 5, 6, 7 positive tests, I mean, you better make sure you are quarantining those folks until they are confirmed positive. I mean, it's going to be like, how can you best mitigate the situation? You know?
Well, did you actually see Arkansas State either isn't playing this week or it was last week because they literally
Well, that's the funny part about it. They beat Kansas State last week, yes. And they didn't have 20 of their players.
Right. But then they played without 20 players. But then did you see they're now like having to reschedule or cancel their game because they couldn't field a position group? Like,
That's wild. It's wild times here in 2020, man.
It's completely, completely wild. Okay. So let's talk about when they have to make decisions to alter or halt practice. In those situations, how is that going to factor in with this whole like green, yellow, red portion?
So essentially, this is all kind of dictated by the team positivity rate. Yes, the other half is the population part. Again, that's like support staff, and team included. But as long as the team is between 0 and 2 on that 7-day rolling average, you continue as normal. If they start to get in that 2 to 5, then things change. You got to proceed with some more caution. You have to enhance the COVID-19. You're altering the practice and meeting schedule, potentially looking at rescheduling. And if you get above that 5, that's where it's going to get rescheduling. And that's the thing, though. That's the thing I do not understand about this Big Ten schedule is you have 9 games in 9 weeks. You don't have a bye week that if somebody...
Yeah, you can't reschedule.
You can't reschedule, and that's the thing. Like, why didn't you build in the bye week? Why aren't we starting on October 17th and you have the bye week there, so if you have to reschedule somebody, you can do so. And that's where I know some folks are like, well, look at Wisconsin right now. If you haven't been aware, the University of Wisconsin is in like a COVID shutdown. They have kids like locked in dorms, quarantining, and the football team is paused. Well, yeah, Wisconsin, they know that. Barry Alvarez has literally come out and said, yeah, we would just need 21 days to get ready before our first game. Okay, well, there's like 30 right now, and they're going to be done with their 14-day quarantine here, I think, in the next week or so. So they'd be fine. I just don't understand why you have all these precautions, but you don't have – well, like when something does happen and you have to reschedule for a week, you can't reschedule. The game's just gone.
Yeah.
So say Wisconsin – gets another COVID outbreak the week before Minnesota. Well, I guess you're just not playing for the Axe this year because there's no time.
No, I think we just get it then, right?
I mean, how does that work? I guess then technically they would forfeit.
I mean, do they forfeit And then
in this Big Ten scenario, you got to go 9 for 9.
I mean, you have to, if they deliver the axe, right? We receive it with Clorox wipes, right?
Yeah, just douse it in bleach.
Okay, but seriously, like, how many of these meetings were like micro arguing all these finer details and points? Could you imagine the mind numbing, like, frustration? And that's where
it's been so frustrating. Because, I mean, you've seen the different leaks to the media, and everybody has their own freaking agenda because, again, it's a 2020 political season and everybody wants to have their voice heard.
I mean, there's that, and there are these ultra, like, ego-boosted executives that have to be heard, right? Like, yeah.
Like, the Big Ten has been so close to just doing things and then subcommittee upon subcommittee and then things again. If you've ever been involved in one of those, you know how things just digress and you don't get anything done.
It's kind of like this podcast.
So it's kind of frankly amazing. Number one, we got a podcast out for the first time and Luke, it's been nearly been 3 months. We're the worst.
We are the worst.
We are the absolute worst.
I've been busy. I've got activities. I mean,
you have a child.
I have a child. We bike by your house all the time. We stop in every once in a while. I mean, you've met my entire family basically now. You only have to meet my sister, and then you've literally met everyone. I mean, there it is.
All right. Anyways. So, yeah, I mean, it's just the big. All right. I'm just happy there's Big Ten football coming. Even though I'm not as optimistic on Minnesota's chances to repeat in 2020 like they're doing in, I don't think they're going to be that good. I mean, we'll get into it a little bit later, but
yeah,
the schedule is going to come out on Thursday or Friday. And we'll get into that next week. And so kind of the plan here for the podcast is we're going to be weekly until the season. So you don't have to go 3 months in between podcasts anymore. There's actual Big Ten football to break down. There's Gopher stuff to talk about. Just things during the week, especially that we're talking about daily on Gopher Illustrated that we can get into. And so we have this podcast this week. We'll talk about the schedule next week. We'll get offense the week after that, defense the week after that. And then we'll kind of give our season predictions before the season starts on the 24th. So if you've been yearning for a Gopher fix and you want to start to get excited about Gopher football again, seems like a good time to be here, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening and you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, just, navigate out, press subscribe, and these episodes will show up weekly and then bi-weekly here very shortly. So let's talk about news since we last talked. A lot has happened in a lot of different areas, recruiting, roster, transfers, etc. So let's get into probably the biggest news breaker.
If it's not, I don't know what would be.
Rashad Bateman opting out of the season. Don't blame him one bit. So what I've heard is, he was concerned about the COVID thing. Sure, if that's the case. Or how about just like, don't take the risk of injury. I don't blame you for not wanting to do that, given this situation. It's a convenient way out. It's a convenient excuse. I think your show notes tell me he has asthma. Didn't know that.
He does. Yep. And so here's the thing. Like, Bateman had been thinking about it a ton over the summer. Like, this isn't a rash decision that he made.
He's had since March to think about it, basically.
Well, yeah. And that's where, especially once the season got canceled, like, it made a ton of sense for him to just opt out, because if there was going to be a spring season, there was a 0.0% chance that he was going to be there. He does have asthma. He is worried about the respiratory issues of it. And I think the other thing is that certainly played a part is Rashad is going to be a first-round draft pick. I'd say 8 out of 10 times, if at least, Rashad Bateman is going to go in the top 30 picks. I mean, he was the Big Ten receiver of the year as a sophomore. He put a lot of good things on tape. He's going to test well, which means if you're a top 30 pick or you're a first-round pick in the NFL, that means 8 figures guaranteed. So if you told me, Luke, you could sit out train and you could still make $10 million at least guaranteed.
Yeah.
You're going to do that.
I mean, do you remember when Christian McCaffrey sat out and everybody was like, oh, why is he doing this?
Out
of a bowl game that meant nothing, right? Like, yeah, absolutely sit out. Don't blame me one bit. You know what? You were an awesome receiver. Thank you for a great 2019 season. But good luck to you. I will cheer you on in the NFL. Kudos.
Yeah, that's where it's just like you wish you would have known in that Auburn game that it was the last time he would have seen him. But again, no one knew that, like, that this was going to be, COVID was going to be such a gigantic outbreak across the United States. And while the rest of the world has got it under control, here we are. But I think the thing that's interesting here is the question I've gotten, like, I swear 10 of you guys on Twitter have hit me up and said, and sent me the same thing saying, well, can Rashad come back?
No, he signed with an agent. He can't do that.
That's my response. And then I had some people, tweet me like, well, they can fight it. He could have to pay back things that, you know, it depends on what he's accepted already. Guys, don't get your hopes up that Rashad Bateman is coming back to play this fall. It's not happening.
No.
I legitimately asked people over at the Gopher Football Complex, and they're like, we're not even thinking it's going to happen. Rashad, at the very least, would have to repay his agent everything that he's given him. That's thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars he's already done.
Yeah, I mean,
Rashad Bateman and his family do not have that type of money to pay back, to come back and play. I mean, if your stock's already potentially a first-round stock, what are we even discussing then?
That boat's already rode away.
Yeah, and so that's the tough part where, and it kind of gets into why I'm not as bullish on Minnesota this fall is, I mean, you're gone, the two first-team All-Big Ten receivers.
Yeah.
And, like, Tanner Morgan completed 210 passes last year, Luke. 73% of those, so 153 of them, are gone from this 2020 team. 2,607 of his passing yards of 3,250, 80% of those are gone. So you have to replace like 75, 80% of what Tanner was throwing the ball to last year between Tyler, Rashad, and Rodney, essentially. And Tanner has had 1 week of spring practice with a brand new offensive coordinator.
Right.
Like the two true freshman receivers and Daniel Jackson and Douglas Emelin, we'll get into here in a minute. But like, I'm expecting those guys to start with Chris Oppenbell. And I mean, say what you will about true freshmen, and I think they're incredibly talented from all indications I've heard. And these guys are going to be special players here at Minnesota, but they're still going to be true freshman starters. And I mean, it's a little bit worrisome because you've had a week. I mean, yeah, you can be throwing to them, in the May, June, and July, working on routes with them and stuff, but it's different when live bullets are flying. And the fact that, especially these two true freshman receivers, they're going to have fall camp, and then here we are. Like, yeah, Rashad Bateman made that transition, but you shouldn't expect everyone to be the best receiver that Minnesota's ever seen.
Right. And I mean, to that point, like, you got to remember too that all these other teams are in this are in a very similar situation, right? That they're going to play. So I mean, this whole season is just going to be completely odd in general, whether it's no fans, whether it's the lack of preparation, whether it's number of teams have had guys opt out. Not every team in the Big Ten has had guys opt out, but yeah, it's going to be a completely weird season. And you know, while you and I, and you know, a lot of the hardcore Gopher fans are going to be really into this, there are a lot that are going to be like, meh, I mean, this is just weird. And they're not going to put so much stock into whether or not the program's up or down, right?
And that's where they're just going to get ready for the 2021 season.
Right, exactly.
To get excited about that Thursday night opener against Ohio State.
Yes. Oh, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. But, like, I think the thing is, like, with Rashad opting out, like, who replaces that? Like,
well,
and that's where do you think?
I mean, you've been on
you
this.
You have a cheat sheet, but
I don't have it. I don't have. This isn't on your cheat sheet. You have hyped this guy for a long time. He comes from my conference, the Central Lakes Conference, out of St. Cloud Tech, Brevin Spanford. You've hyped that train. It's now time to deliver, man.
Look, so here's the thing. Like, Minnesota's offense is going to look a lot different than when you last remember it, where it was Tyler and Rashad, and that was it. You might have had 3-4 targets going to a game, going to tight ends or running backs.
Do you blame what's-his-name Freiermuth for leaving Penn State? I don't.
Well, now he's back. That's
no,
the news
seriously?
Too. He opted back in because I don't think he signed with an agent.
Oh,
so
man.
We're going to find out
what
Kirk Ciarrocca.
What a mistake. He's going to kill his draft stock.
Dude, imagine opting out Kirk Ciarrocca, then is like, all right, sweet, don't have to use the tight ends. Ops back in 30-something days before the season. Woof. Woof.
That's wild.
Well, here's all right. So the point I'm getting at is expect Minnesota to not just like replace the receivers with receivers. Their passing game, again, you're losing 80% of the yardage that Tanner threw for last year. That's a ton. Legitimately, it's a ton. But it's not going to be just the receivers. I think you're going to see the running backs more involved in the passing game. So whether that's Ibrahim, whether that's Trey Potts, whether that's Cam Wiley, Bryce Williams, Jason Williamson, they got to figure that out yet, or Kai Thomas. Yes, you're going to still have Chris Ottman-Bell, and he is going to get double-digit targets a game. So we're really going to find out how far Chris Ottman-Bell can take this team. But I am incredibly bullish on Douglas Emelin. I have heard very, very good things behind the scenes, really hoping that he continues that progress into fall camp. And I've also heard Daniel Jackson has looked really, really good. A guy that tore his ACL as a junior, started a little slow in his senior season, but really came on towards the end. Both guys very, very close to four stars, if not four-star guys that Minnesota got in their last recruiting class. I think they're going to have big expectations. You also are looking at guys like potentially Seth Green, Clay Gary, but we'll have to see. And again, the tight ends, I'm dying on the Brevin Spanford Hill. It is a flag I have firmly planted. It is just going to stay there because anytime I talk to someone over there, it's, because again, when Rashad opted out, I'm asking people over there, okay, now what? And Brevin Spanford, or you ask people, you ask sources at some of these workouts, who's going to step forward? Brevin Spanford. Like, I'm not expecting, you shouldn't think like Brevin Spanford is going to have some kind of Rob Gronkowski in his prime type of season or something like that. But if Brevin Spanford in nine games can catch 25, 30 balls and have five touchdowns, I mean, that's immensely, immensely better from the tight end position. Plus that you're going to have Jake Paulson and Co-Keefe and Bryce Witham there. It's going to be a multitude of guys if Minnesota is going to continue to move forward with their offense. But I'm buying stock in Daniel Jackson. I'm buying stock in Doug Emelin. And I'm buying stock in Brevin Spanford.
All right. Probably the second most, maybe hot topic in this short period of purgatory that we had until football is going to be back was Curtis Dunlap entering the transfer portal and then all of a sudden opting out of the transfer portal in what was seemingly maybe 20 hours.
Man, I mean, I wish here's the thing. Like there are things going on here and I've kind of hinted at them on Gopher Illustrated. And I know a lot of you asked me about it on Twitter and everything. I mean, here's the bottom line. If you're listening to this or you ask me or you follow me on Twitter and you're asking me questions, I do see them and I do appreciate them, but Twitter and not really this podcast don't pay my bills and they don't pay my mortgage. It's Gopher Illustrated. And that's where I've been. If you want the inside scoop, that's where it is. It's on the GI message board. So you should have that bookmarked if you're a GI subscriber and you don't already, but it's just been an off season for Curtis Dunlap. But
I just want to add this, and I don't actually know. You haven't told me. I also haven't asked because it's not really my place to ask. And even though we have this deep-seated trust in each other, but
I didn't know where that's serious.
Honestly, like think about being a college student right now. I mean,
it's mental health wise. It has to be as tumultuous as it's ever.
Well, yeah, but I mean, not just that, man. It's like. The 4 years of going to college, those are supposed to be kind of like the carefree, like fun, you know, ride into the sunset, which is like academia, right? And then transfer into this like, oh, life's getting real now. And you're however many miles away from school, or from home, someplace comfortable in the middle of a pandemic. Nobody knows what the heck's going on. You can't do the social things that you expect to do. Maybe you had to leave school, right? Like, man, it just sucks. Imagine going into college in this or even being in it. It sucks. And then that, like to your point, can weigh on people from a mental health perspective.
Right. And so, there's a lot that has to happen for me to believe that Curtis Dunlap is starting for Minnesota on October 24th. Like I said, it's been an off season for him. I know he's working hard now to try and get back right, but there are things that he still has to do to really earn playing time back. So if that's the case, I mean, you're looking at an offensive line that is probably going to have John Mike. I would be gobsmacked again, trying to harness my inner Dan Barrero there with his vernacular. If John Michael Schmitz was not starting at center, which if he's not, if he is, that means Connor Olsen's a guard.
And, you know, when we ended the season last year, John Michael Schmitz was arguably the best offensive lineman next to Sam Schluter, right? So, like, he deserves
John
to start.
Michael Schmitz should be absolutely starting.
Right. And he deserves it.
Going to potentially. Like, yeah. He is going to be starting now, whether it's Curtis Dunlap, whether it's Daniel Falele. Again, people, like, you have to understand this. Daniel Falele had an incredibly serious leg injury against Wisconsin. And then he's starting to rehab and come back. You saw him for a spring practice. And then it was 4 or 5 months of nothing. I mean, these guys weren't really allowed to do anything. And so what does that mean for where is Falele at with his rehab with that serious leg injury? Where is he at with his body composition? As you'll remember, that was a big thing. And again, I've heard that, he's still deciding some things as well. And so,
well, I mean,
I don't know what to expect from Curtis Dunlap or Daniel Fowler.
Well, what's it to say, like, from any of these student athletes, right? Like, they're all going through quite a bit in terms of like life experience, and who knows where some of them are at from a mental health perspective. And that's a serious deal. Like, some people maybe don't believe it, but it's a serious deal. And that's way more important than their ability to play football, right?
Right.
Is making sure that they have, you know, that they're taking care of that. So, I don't know.
I know. So that's where, like, if the scenario is on October 24th, there's no Falele, there's no Dunlap, you still have a pretty dang good offensive line. You have Sam Schluter at left tackle, Connor Olsen at left guard, John Michael Schmitz at center, Axel Rushmeyer, the Holy Family product, redshirt junior who got put on scholarship last year, would probably be starting at right guard, and then Blaze Andrews would kick out to tackle. Now, I'm definitely good with that because I think Blaze is a better tackle than a guard. I think John Michael is a better center than Connor Olsen, and I think Connor Olsen is a better guard than he is a center. Like, and you still have Sam Schluter over there who proved to be incredibly, incredibly valuable. And I think that Brian Callahan can mitigate some things with the right guard position if they need to. But that's where the depth concerns come in for me, is who the heck is the swing tackle? J.J. Gaudet as a redshirt freshman / sophomore?
I don't know, man.
Like, I like J.J. down the line. I really do. But I don't know if he's ready. I mean, who is your swing interior? Is it Austin Beyer, Nathan Bowe? Is it going to be a true freshman like Ariante Ursary, Martez Lewis? I don't know. And that's where 1 through 5 for Minnesota in that scenario where Dunlap or Falele or both are not available is still pretty good. It's just 6 through 8. It's a little bit more difficult. But and that's where I've also gotten the question, like, who else could you see opt out? Well, here's what I'll say. And I'm kind of waiting on him to say something. There is a projected starter for the 2020 team that has opted out, kind of waiting to see what, you know, if he's going to announce here or what's going on. But like the only other guy I could see would be St. Juiced. He's like 23 years old. He's already got his master's. He would really, really do well at the combine, and he played pretty well. And that's where I'm not saying Benjamin St. Juiced is opting out. I'm not. I just wouldn't be surprised if you saw that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm expecting him to play. I want that so people don't start to write on message boards, Ryan Burns said this, and then it gets taken out of control. But like, there is a projected starter that has opted out. Sounds like he's just going to be done with football, which, again, that's his decision. I mean,
yeah.
it is what it is.
And the thing is, there could be more that you don't know, right? I mean, the rubber's really hitting the road now where
things are just so
yeah.
And again, that's where – people don't understand, like in recruiting especially, things are so freaking fluid. Like that, I mean, if you guys knew half the thing, again, I'm just like, if you knew half the things I knew, which again, good for me, but like there are things I don't say because it doesn't help any part of the situation, you know? It's like things are fluid, especially
right.
In 2020.
I mean,
if we've learned anything.
Yeah, and I always thought that Jerry Kill had a good line that was like, you get a kid committed or you get him on campus, that's when the real recruiting starts, right? Like every single day that you're recruiting these kids. Maybe it was Fleck that said that. Whoever gets credit, awesome. But I mean, it's the reality of the situation. There's just a lot going on for right. these student athletes, and you're constantly having to recruit them, you know, getting them to buy in to be a part of a team, you know, that whole idea.
It's complicated. But that gets us into a little bit of recruiting talk. And before I do that, like I said to mention or to start the show, if you want go for recruiting talk for a recruiting class that's probably going to finish pretty dang well, I think they have 6 4 stars committed right now, which would be the most in the internet era, especially high school wise, that they've signed. You know, we'll get into it here in a bit, but as I've been talking about on GI's message board for some time, I mean, they're trending well for some more high profile guys. And that's where a GI subscription annually, 60% off. It's like $4 a month for a year. Save $75 over the entire point of that, especially when money's a little tight during COVID. And if you want to pitch it to your better half,
I mean,
CBS All Access, you can stream. It's included in your GI subscription. It's very easy to activate and get going on your TV or your mobile device or your laptop, whatever it may be. Something else to watch that isn't Netflix or Hulu, because Lord knows by now you have burned through everything that is on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime or whatever. So go to head to Gopher Illustrated, click the sign up link. It's 60% off for an annual or $1, $100 pennies for that first month, especially with football back.
And I mean, we know you're not going out to eat as much. We know you're not, you know, going to the bar or going to the coffee shop. You can probably spare $4 a month or $1. Just give it a try. Just join the community. Check it out.
Talk in your life to help support a couple of local guys and beat Ryan James. I mean, I think it's worth it.
But I might even post every once in a while to the message board. Very rarely.
Or even if you like Gopher hockey. I mean, we got Eric Vico over there, and he is the world's, in my opinion, the world's best Gopher hockey mind. And
yeah.
Knows more about Gopher hockey than I think anybody out there. And he's always on the message board and a bunch of threads about it. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever your Gopher, I guess, men's revenue sport is, there's a pretty good chance we can talk about
it. And I occasionally get into the softball threads too. Like they occasionally pop up. So
look at you.
I know. Okay, let's talk some recruiting.
I figured we start bad news before.
Wait, you're going to tear them down before you build them back up. Okay, I like it.
We got to end on a positive note, right?
Yeah.
People have already gotten this far. They're getting towards the end of their lawn. They're already sweaty. Like they want to hear some good news while they're putting them all.
All right. So I probably should try to pronounce these names because you didn't phonetically spell them. This is kind of a bit.
This is a bit I actually kind of do with my, my friends and my better half is I give them names of recruits I talk to.
Yeah.
And they're like, and I'm like, is it a real person or did I just make that up?
Yeah. Okay. First one, decommit.
Yep.
I didn't know this guy was ever committed. I'm going to be completely honest.
I wouldn't expect anything more.
Damarian Alexander.
Yeah, that one's pretty easy.
Let me guess. He sounds like a defensive player.
Yeah.
Defensive end. Okay. He wasn't the defensive tackle that you were like, man, this is like the most ridiculous.
Albert Regis.
I remember him. I want him to come back.
What's this guy's name? What's the other guy's name?
Tamarian Crumpley.
There it is.
Oh, man, 2 for 2. People are going to be so disappointed in their cars and lawnmowers.
So since we last recorded in late June, there's been 2 decommitments, Damarian Alexander, Tamarian Crumpley. And, you know, it's been an interesting topic on Gopher Illustrated is about the decommitments and why they're decommitting. And again, people want to then make it about what has happened in Minneapolis. And am I saying it hasn't played a part with, the racial tensions and the social injustice and different things that have been going on? I mean, it's played a part, but I firmly believe it has been way over dramatized on how much of an impact that made on especially these two kids' decisions. Like, again, I can't really get into what actually happened behind the scenes because, again, there's still 3 months until signing day. A lot can and will change. Maybe these guys come back. Maybe they don't. It's just you don't want to burn a bridge. But it is way over talked about the things that have happened playing a part. Like Damarian Alexander had, someone come back into his life that previously hadn't been, and there were discussions had. And now he's going to Kansas, who just got their brains beat in by Coastal Carolina. And Kansas was the only school to send him an offer letter, which, again, maybe that's not the worst thing in the world.
All right.
So, and then Tamarian Crumpley, he never visited Minnesota. Again, some more people got into his life. Things got a little complicated, and he decided to not decide to come. And that's where we'll get into it here in a couple of minutes that, again, Minnesota replaced Tamarian Crumpley awfully well. Minnesota's trending to replace Damarian Alexander well. Like, just because, and that's where, again, we've had some discussions, like, PJ Fleck has had some decommitments. Sure. Again, that's where I just, like, it's only something that bugs me or is, like, super negative if these kids that are decommitting and you're not replacing them with as good, if not better, players. Like, that's the thing where you look at the entirety of this 2021 recruiting class, it's going to be damn good. It's going to be, frankly, elite by Gopher football recruiting standards when things come in December, if things continue to trend the way that, you know, I think they're going to. And that's where you just can't worry about, like, let's see where the chips lie in December. Like, if things didn't trend well and Minnesota didn't finish well, then, yeah, we can – you know, we can complain and we can moan about Fleck didn't do this. Yeah, then I'll be for it. I'll be there with you. But let's just give it some time to breathe. Like, I'll be the first one to admit, like, Minnesota had a heck of a run in April and May. It was arguably the best 60-day recruiting span I've seen. And then you look at the last few months, Minnesota's had these decommitments. They've been the bridesmaid way too many times. With Joe Alt to Notre Dame, Andrew Lyngang to K-State, Kyron Montgomery to Mizzou, just off the top of my head here. And that's where it is what it is in 2020 because you don't get any freaking visits. I mean, the NCAA came out this evening and said, yep, no visits until January at the very least. So you're going to have Avante Dickerson and Devin Williams signing, among others, sight unseen more than likely, unless they're the ones paying to come up to campus. And they're not even going to get to spend any time with the coaches. So, I mean, it's such a weird spot because you're going to have guys just sign the letter of his intent, sight unseen, unless they have the money. And, again, some people have the money, some don't. And if they don't, it's just like an awkward conversation between a coach and the recruit and their family because it's like, hey, you know, we'd love you to come up here. We can't spend any time with you, but we'd love to have you, you know, walk around campus, see the city, yada, yada, yada. And then for some of these families, money's tight, especially during COVID. And it's just a weird spot. And, you know, it's just something I've never seen in my 10 years doing this is no visits or unofficial or official visits with coaches. So like Steven Ortiz, Minnesota's four-star corner from Arizona, he's going to be flying up here Thursday morning with his family. They're just going to like walk around and that's fine. I mean, that's what they're here to do, but they can't have any face-to-face contact with coaches. So that they're going to walk around like the facility or around campus or on the football complex. The coaches are going to be there, but you can't see them. It's just like, it's a weird time to kind of be a 2021 recruit. And that's where, frankly, I mean, some of these kids are going to get screwed, but it is what it is. And no one can really do anything about it.
Right. And I recall we talked about virtual visits at one point, like who even knew what that was, right? Like,
a few months ago, that was the big thing.
Right.
And that was kind of one of the big ways that Minnesota was able to get, you know, we're going to end the podcast here with some positive notes, recruiting news is it's one of the big reasons why they were able to get Justin Wally, a Mississippi cornerback who legitimately chose the Gophers over Ole Miss and Mississippi State. His brother legitimately goes to Mississippi State and is a true, he's a freshman there. And again, I know what the Ole Miss people are, beat writers are saying, the Mississippi State people are saying, and I know what Minnesota's telling me. Like, again, Ole Miss and Mississippi State are both like, there's no way he's going to go there over, you know, the in-state schools. We don't know why he went there, but he's not going to go there. You watch, he's going to flip. Look, Justin Wally may very well flip in the next 3 months before signing day. I don't know. But I can tell you the people I've talked to on my side of things have been spot on about the Justin Wally thing for about 3 months. And that's where his Gopher virtual visit went very well. He wants to get away from the state of Mississippi. He wants to
don't blame really him.
Yeah, no kidding. He wants to blaze his own trail, and he wants to do that in Minnesota. So, again, why? And that's where, like, I just can't imagine. Like, say Riley Malman, okay? Like, Riley Malman chooses Wisconsin. I can't imagine just, like, writing stuff weekly saying, I can't believe he did that. But, you know, he's going to come back. It is what it is. And it's like, why do that to the kid? Like, I'm getting off track.
I mean,
here,
they don't really have anything else to probably write about. They're running out of ideas.
Who knows?
There's no visits, right? Like, yeah, what are they?
Justin Wally, from all I've heard the last month, is he's firm in Minnesota. Now, could that change between now and October, November, December? Sure.
Sure, but it could be like Florida State or anything, right? It doesn't matter.
This kid is firm in Minnesota as we sit here today. So that's the only commit here since the late June, since we last talked in terms of 2021s. You have big play Trey Bixby starting out the 2022 recruiting class, a top 200, and we have him in like the 220s overall in the 2022 class. He's a 4-star. He is the son of a good friend of the podcast, Kyle Goblerish. Chose Minnesota over Penn State, Cincinnati, Michigan State, Arkansas. And, you know, it's funny that the Buckeyes are still trying to talk to him, and he's telling the Buckeyes, like, I'm good. I'm going to Minnesota. I grew up a Gopher fan. So, again, times are changing. And then when you look at some other things, some other notes here, Minnesota, from what I've been told, is still the leader for Davon Townley. Davon Townley is a 4-star defensive end from Minneapolis North. He's got a slew of Power 5 offers, a slew of SEC and Big 10 offers. You know, he's a 4-star defensive end. He's got a very high ceiling. You don't find a lot of guys like him that are 6'6", long and explosive. There's a reason he is as highly rated as he is. From what I've been told, he is a Minnesota lean at this point. We'll see what he decides here in the coming weeks. I mentioned it earlier. Steven Ortiz is going to be up here this weekend from Thursday until Sunday. I did a long story with him on Gopher Illustrated for free. If you want to go over to GI and check that out, or check out my Twitter feed, it's there too. He's coming up with his parents, I think an aunt and uncle too. And they're going to meet up with Devin Eastern, who is a 4-star commit from Shakopee, just a gigantic human being who I think is going to be incredibly disruptive as a 3 technique for Minnesota, 6'5", 270. I heard today he benched 325 five times. I mean, this kid's going to be a monster. I mean, you're hoping he can have a ceiling like Rashid Hagman did and be a little bit more consistent than what Rashid did on a week-by-week basis, but Devin has a very high ceiling. And then they're also going to meet up with Jamison Gears, who is a tight end commit from Illinois. His family is going to be coming up. They're going to spend the weekend together. So it's going to be an interesting time there. I will mention more about this on GI next week. So again, if you want to take up that $1 monthly or the 60% off, as of tonight, I got word earlier this week, Minnesota's going to have a big time visitor on campus. He's got a trip booked with some family members for next weekend. So, the 25th, 26th, 27th. I'm going to talk more about it next week. Again, things are just so dang fluid with COVID, especially in recruiting. But he is going to be flying in. He's going to be walking around campus with his family without the coaches. But if this does happen, I mean, I'd be definitely okay with it. I guess I'll put it that way. But I'll talk more about that and go for those trade next week. Minnesota is still working on multiple committed elsewhere guys like Jaden Hood, who's committed to Michigan, Caden Fordham, who's committed to NC State. So, again, they're working guys committed elsewhere. It doesn't really help me to put it out there right now. Let's see what they're able to get done. I mean, you're looking at a guy like Jalen Logan Redding from last year, of which I know Minnesota's pleasantly surprised, and they did have high expectations for him when they flipped him from Mizzou. But it sounds like he has performed above their expectations. We'll see if he's at rush end or strong side defensive end, but let's just see how it all plays out with these committed elsewhere guys that Minnesota's pursuing with this recruiting class in general before we start to kind of freak out one way or another. But It's all stuff we're talking about on Gopher Illustrated, Luke.
I mean, but let's be honest. Like, we're going to have an asterisk season to look forward to, and a schedule that likely should be coming out here in the next few days. And we can, and then we can complain about it. And if Wisconsin has an incredibly great schedule on their on that unfolds for them, we can say that Barry Alvarez just basically cooked this whole thing. And we can blame him, because who doesn't love a good conspiracy theory that involves Barry Alvarez?
Amen to that. So we'll get into that schedule, though, next time. It'll probably come out on Thursday or Friday if you want to read more about it in real time. I'll be having game-by-game breakdowns, different superlatives, breaking down that nine-game schedule up on Gopher Illustrated within an hour or two of those coming out. And then next week, when Luke and I come back, we'll be talking about that schedule in depth, kind of the way it plays out. What's the toughest stretch, the trap game, and kind of just get into the logistics of that. And by then, I'm sure we'll also have some more Gopher notes. So, Luke, do you want to say anything else before the podcast kind of gets going here, or we go out? And last thing I'll say is, if I haven't said it enough, 60% off. Guys, if you don't like saving money, and you have been on the fence, where you're like, I can't justify that, there's no go for football.
It's back. You should give us a try.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening. Like Ryan said, we'll be back two episodes a week once games start again, and that's going to be again brought to you by the Goal Line Club. They've been a great partner for us through the entire time of Gopher Gridiron Radio. Again, we appreciate you guys listening. If you want to rate and review the podcast, that's appreciated. Also, share this with a friend. Everybody's looking for ways to kill time during COVID. This is a good way for people to kill time on a walk, a run, maybe just a joyride, because nobody commutes anymore. Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.